We read in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." I want us to talk for a few minutes this evening about a heart pleasing to God. I appreciate David leading that song for me to help set our minds for the sermon. God was looking for a man. He sought a man after his own heart. Back in the Old Testament, he is still looking for men and women that have a heart that wants to be pleasing to him. When we look in 1 Samuel chapter 13, I want us to look at beginning at verse 9. "So Saul said, 'Bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me.' And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, 'What have you done?' And Saul said, 'When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come with the days appointed, and the Philistines gathered together at Michmash.'" And before we go on, just notice the excuses he starts to make. One excuse after another. He blames the people. "When I saw the people were scattered from me," he blames Samuel, "and that you did not come within the days appointed, you didn't do what you were supposed to, and the Philistines were gathering together." He says in verse 12, "Then I said, 'The Philistines will now come down to me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering.'" He's going back to the feelings. Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." God wants people that seek after his own heart. Again, if he's our Father and we are his children, he wants us to be seeking after him, to please him. And as children of God, we cannot truly be a child of God unless we are seeking after the heart of our Father. So it was the beginning of the end of the reign of Saul as king in Israel. In addition to unlawful offering of burnt offerings in chapter 13, Saul later disobeyed the direction of God by sparing King Agag of the Amalekites. And then we remember too when Samuel comes and Saul was supposed to have utterly destroyed everyone, men, women, children, the livestock. And Samuel says, "What's this I hear with the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen?" He heard the animals that Saul had not slain. And so we see that Saul was not a man after his own heart. And when we come to the New Testament and Paul is recounting the history of Israel in a sermon that he delivered at Antioch, Paul said, "When he had removed him, Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom he gave testimony and said, 'I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.'" That's in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. David was a man after God's own heart who would do all of his will. And that's a wonderful commendation of a man from God himself. That's not what some man said about David. That's what God said about him. It's a beautiful compliment, and that should be something that characterizes every one of us as a child of God. Well, what does it mean when the Lord speaks of David as a man after his own heart. It doesn't mean that David was sinless, because we read about the sins that he committed and the consequences of those sins in 2 Samuel. But it does affirm David's desire to do the things of God. And though he failed at times, the disposition of his heart was to give faithful service to the Lord, to do all my will. So the record in 1 and 2 Samuel revealed the desire of David to serve the Lord. And we get a picture of his desire. And I think when we go to the book of Psalms, we see so much more of that desire that David had to please the Lord. We see that it shows his love for the scriptures. The Psalms show his desire to communicate with God. And it shows wisdom in serving the Lord and a desire to do what is honorable, even under severe trial. You think about when David was fleeing from different people that wanted to kill him, all the turmoil that he had in his life, yet he still wanted to do all that the Lord commanded. And friends, we need to develop a strong desire like David, that we will do whatever God wants us to do. That's the same character traits that we see in Christ himself. When Christ came, he wanted to please the Father. So the objective in this study is going to consider some of those attitudes that David had. And by looking at those, hopefully we can gain some insight into what we need to do. So this sermon, I don't always say this, but this sermon is going to have some homework that goes with it. There's going to be five things you have to do for your homework this week. We'll get into those as we go through the sermon. So the first thing I want us to consider in having a heart pleasing to God, we need to have a heart that loves the Word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 97, David said, "Oh, how I love your law." This psalm certainly expresses the sentiment of one who has a great love for God's Word. And as we've looked at this psalm before, it's based on the Hebrew alphabet, 21 different letters, and there's something in each verse that talks about a benefit of the Word of God. And David said, I love your law. And why did he love it? Well, from that same psalm, we learned that God's Word protects us from sin. Psalm 119:11, it revives us in affliction. Psalm 119, verse 50, it gives us great peace of mind. Psalm 119:165. And again, there's 18 other benefits in that psalm. That's just a few reasons why we should love God's Word so much. So how is our love for the Word of God? How much time do we spend in it? Do we hide it in our heart? Or is it just something we pick up and put down? Do we find it a source of comfort in times of affliction? You're going through a hard time. What's the first thing you're going to turn to? You're going to turn to something to have some kind of effect on your mind or something to escape. Friends, the best place to turn to is to turn to the Word of God and spend time. And we've got to develop that love for God's Word, and it will bless us so much in our life. But it will not bless us unless we pick it up and use it and love using the Word of God. David said in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth, forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." So when you look at this, he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So blessed, what does that mean? Well, it means happy, but we also need to understand that it's not talking about happy as we think about it in everyday terms, where we go out and we buy something new and it makes us feel happy. This happy, this feeling, comes from knowing that our sins are forgiven, that God acknowledges us as being pleasing to Him. God looks on us with favor and we are blessed. We are happy. We are happy because we do not do these things and we do do these other things. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its roots are going to go down deep. It's going to be nourished from that water. We're going to be nourished by the Word of God. We're going to produce leaves, not just leaves, but fruit. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. That day and night, it's a repetitive action over and over. And it says, His delight is in the law of the Lord. How would I define delight? Well, this week I would define it with four words: strawberry pie and ice cream. Years ago, this last week was my birthday, and years ago someone gave me a strawberry pie for my birthday. And just kind of as a tradition, each year on my birthday I get a strawberry pie. I delight in strawberry pie. I delight in it. I could, you know, have that every day. I shouldn't, but I delight in it. It's special to me. And that's what our delight should be in the Word of God. We look forward to it. It gives us satisfaction. We can't get enough of it. We delight in it. What do we think of God's Word? Is it something, well, I'll read a verse today and maybe one tomorrow, or do we delight in the Word of God? Friends, if we want to have a heart that's pleasing to God, we need to have a heart that loves the Word of God. Well, if we want to have a heart pleasing to God, we need to have a heart that loves to pray. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2, I will call upon Him as long as I live. We need to have a heart that wants to talk to the Father. And His love for prayer was based on the fact that God had answered him before. Sometimes you talk to somebody and they ignore you. They don't listen to you. You may not feel encouraged to keep talking to them. But David, whenever he talked to God, God heard his prayer and He answered. And he loved to pray. Psalm 116, verse 1, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. David went to God because God answered his prayers. He went to God for a number of reasons, but then you stop and think about our own life. You know, God has answered my prayers all my life. May not be how I was expecting it, but He answered them in the best way of what I needed. Do I doubt that He's able to answer my prayers in the future? No. And sometimes you'll see something happen in somebody's life and they'll turn away from God. And when something bad happens in life, that's when we should turn to God the most, because He's the only one that has control over anything. He's the one that cares about us. He's the one that will listen to us when we try to tell everybody else what's going on in our life and they're busy and wrapped up in themselves. God will listen to us, and we should have a heart that loves to pray all the time. How is our love for prayer? Do we humble ourselves when we pray? Sometimes, and I'm not judging people's prayer. It's an individual thing. But sometimes I hear people pray about how great God is, how great your love is, your mercy, your compassion, and you bless us, and that's all right and true. And they talk about how great God is and forgot to acknowledge how sinful and undeserving that we are. And that makes prayer even that much more special, that we can humble ourselves. And God, when we do everything that we can, we're just unprofitable servants. But God will hear our prayer, even though we are not deserving of that. Do we pour out our heart to God? Have we found it a source of peace that passes all understanding? And as I've mentioned before, sometimes if you have a problem and you just start praying about that over and over and over and over, you find a peace that comes over you because we've turned it over to God. Do we pray without ceasing? And that doesn't mean we pray 24 hours a day, but again, we make it a habit, a lifestyle, a repetitive action over and over. How much time did we spend talking with our Father this last week? And I've heard the saying, someone said they didn't have time to pray in the morning because they had so much to do. And the other person said, I don't have time not to pray in the morning because I've got so much to do. And we need to start the day off talking to our Heavenly Father. David also prayed to God because sometimes his life depended on it when he was being chased and sought after to be put to death. So how is our love for praying to God? We need to have a heart like that. If we want to have a heart that's pleasing to God, we need a heart that loves to praise God. In Psalm 119, verse 164, he says, seven times a day I praise you. The seven times, it's complete. It's throughout the day. Why did he praise God? Because of his righteous judgments. He praised God because of his greatness and loving kindness. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. He was determined to sing praises as long as he lived. Psalm 104, verse 33. Just think if David was alive today and he came into the assembly, do you think he would come in late and leave early, and he'd be looking at his cell phone the whole time and taking notes back and forth and planning what he was going to do and whispering and not being focused? I cannot see David doing that. His heart was a heart set on pleasing God. You think about praising God and singing. You think of all the psalms that he wrote. Those psalms, those songs were written to be sung. Do we love to praise God? Do we delight in singing praises to God in song? We're having a special singing coming up because we love to do that. Do we take time to praise God in our prayers? Once again, David in Psalm 147 verse 1 said, thus it is becoming for those who profess to be children of God to praise their Heavenly Father. And we come back to this time issue. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to sing. Do you think your schedule is busier than King David's? He was king. He was king over God's people. All the responsibility, all the people that he was over. But he made time. And he loved to do it because that's the way his heart was. And sometimes, again, we have to be honest with ourselves. if we do not love praising God for a few minutes on Sunday, if we do not have a heart that loves singing to God for a few minutes on Sunday, are we ready to sit around that throne and sing praises to Him for time without end? I'm ready. I hope everybody else is too. That will be a wonderful time, but we have to have our heart prepared, a heart that loves to praise God. Another point with a heart pleasing to God, David had a heart that loved unity among the brethren. In Psalm 133 and verse 1, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It's good to be united. It's good to have unity. You can see it from both sides of the fence. David understood the value of good friendship and unity. We were talking this morning about God providing companions for us as we go through this life. One of the companions that David had in his early part of his life was Jonathan, and the relationship that he had with Jonathan. And it was a very close relationship. That was a good relationship. But talking about unity, you think about the pain that David had from within his own family, with the division within his own family, with his sons, with Amnon and Absalom. How much do we love unity for the among the brethren? And when we say we love it, how do we demonstrate it? It's something that we have to express to each other. Do we love unity enough to pay the price? Do I have to get my way every time if I have a heart that's pleasing to God? No. We love the Lord, we love unity among the family, and we work, we must be diligent, displaying the proper attitudes to preserve the unity of Christ that He accomplished through His death. I want to turn for a minute to Ephesians chapter 4, because we talk about the ones, there's the one body, the one spirit, just as you were called in hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Those are the things that we are to be united in. But you go back to verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." And then he goes into the attitudes of this unity. "With all lowliness, with gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." There's this attitude that we must exhibit and love unity among the brethren. Sometimes that unity demands that we mark those that walk disorderly, as in Romans 16:17. We love to be united, but if there's someone teaching false doctrine, we must not let them cause division and mark them. If we want to have a heart pleasing to God, we need to have a heart that hates every false way. Psalm 119:104, "And his hatred was based upon his understanding of God's precepts." And as we looked a couple weeks ago about the love of God, and some people say that love and hate cannot exist in the same mind, but we saw that with God. God's love is infinite, His justice is infinite, and if we love the things that God loves, we are going to hate the things that God hates. Psalm 101, beginning at verse 3, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall not depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbors, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Friends, God is a very loving God, but he's a holy God, and God hates sin. He hates unholiness. So what is our attitude toward false ways? Are we soft or compromising? And, well, you believe what you want to. I know not everybody's going to agree. And if you want to have that piano, you go ahead. I can't see David saying that. If we have a heart that wants to be pleasing God, we have to hate every false way. Do we realize that we are in a battle over the souls of men? And we should not think lightly of those things that are false. There are so many decisions that we make in this life that it's not going to matter if we choose A or B. We make so many decisions each day. But friends, there are decisions that we are faced with each day also, that if we choose this, we choose heaven. If we choose this, we choose hell. And those choices have larger consequences. We need to be mindful of that. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Friends, there are so many things that in this world that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's just so much ungodly propaganda and agendas that we're bombarded with every day. And Paul tells us we need to bring every thought into captivity. That's a military term. We've got to capture our thoughts. If we don't capture our thoughts, what's going to happen? Satan is going to capture them. And when he captures our thoughts, he's going to captivate us. Then he's going to take us away. He's going to capture us. Then we're going to be in bondage. We're going to be in sin. And we're going to stay in sin until we repent of that, till we change our mind, till we get control of our mind back. And we turn from that sin. And then we can turn to the blood of Christ that redeems us. We're to love the sinner, but hate the sin. And we need to learn, we need to have a heart that hates every false way. And sometimes we might love the person to the extent that we overlook that sin that they are involved in. But do we hate every false way? Do we know people who are in sin and we remain silent because we don't want to bring it up and maybe make them feel uncomfortable? How are they going to feel if we don't bring something up and they're standing next to us in the judgment and they say, "Bruce, why didn't you tell me about this? I didn't know and you knew." Friends, we need to hate every false way. Do we realize we are involved in a battle over the souls of men and we cannot think lightly of that which is false? So we've looked at five different attitudes and actions. So this is our homework for this week. We need to work on our heart that we love the Word of God. We need to have a heart that loves to pray. A heart that loves to praise God. A heart that loves unity. A heart that hates every false way. Is this homework too hard? Is it something that we would not enjoy doing? It should be something that we are already doing. Psalm 78, verse 70. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. Now stop and think about this. This is a beautiful passage. And he's talking about God, what God has done with David and what he prepared him for, what he trained him for because of his heart. He also chose David, his servant, took him from the sheepfolds, from the care of the ewes and the suckling lambs. He brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them with his skillful hands. You think about when David was a young man shepherding the sheep, and would work with the sheep and lived with the sheep and with the ewes, the female sheep, and the babies, the suckling lambs, and taking care of them from the time they were babies and up, and taking them to pasture and feeding and watering them and just loving them. And what did God do? God used David to shepherd God's people because of the heart that David had for the sheep. Sometimes we don't care for a sheep. We don't care for a people, for people, but we say we love God. What happened to our heart? You see, we've got to be careful. We've got to watch over our heart. We've got to make sure that our heart does not become calloused. We've got to keep our heart open to God's Word. We've got to spend time in God's Word. Back to Acts 13, 22. In David, it was said concerning David that he was one who will do all my will. And because he was a man after God's own heart and had these attributes, he's held up as an example to us. And we also, when I think of David, and he had the desire to do God's will with all of his heart, I have to think of Jesus when he was tempted, when he was tempted in the wilderness. And why did God have Jesus tempted? Why does God allow us to be tempted? Because God wants to create a heart in men and women that will do what he wants us to do every time, every place, anywhere, anytime, no matter what the circumstance is. And the only way we are going to develop a heart like that is by going through these trials. So back to the song we sang before the lesson, Give Me Thy Heart. He wants our heart. He wants our heart because he knows if he has our heart, he has all of us. If we just go through the actions, God doesn't have us. We're just going through the actions. He wants our heart. And when we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind and strength, it's a protection to us because that's going to keep Satan out. And we have here an example of some of the things that we need to do to have a heart pleasing to God. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, anyone that needs to make correction in their life with sin or ask for the prayers of the congregation, if we can assist you in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.